Well, I'd like to give a very warm welcome to our evening service here at Forest Fold this evening. Whether you're here in the building or joining us online, fantastic to have you with us. Just a couple of notices before we start. One of them is we've got home groups this coming Thursday. So I do encourage you all to join with your home groups to study the passage, pray together, have fellowship together. And we said before, if you're not with a home group at the moment, you know, feel free to speak to one of the leaders here and they will put you in a home group. They're a really encouraging time for all. So I encourage you there. And a couple of things. This is just me again being a bit of a pest like I usually am. Just a reminder for the men's golf day that's coming up on May the 11th. James, don't worry if you're not a golfer. But it doesn't matter if you don't like golf, if you're a man here. You can come down for the breakfast and the talk. It's a really, really good time to have together. It's a really encouraging time. So I really do pray and encourage you to come along. And if you know anybody that likes golf or likes food, invite them and bring them along with you. And another one is just a reminder that our spring summer Bible weekend is on May the 18th and 19th, and the flyers will be coming out soon. But even now, if there's any children and kids that you can think of that would like to come along to that, you know, start asking now and getting them booked in. So that would be really encouraging too. And just to say hello, we missed some of the younger ones today. You were at your cert service and you had that this week. Was that good? Excellent. And I hope you had a really good service this morning. It's good to see you all back here. Well, we're going to start this evening by singing our first song. We're going to be singing Immortal Honours. And when the music starts, please stand. Reading this evening is going to be from 1 Corinthians, and it's going to be found in chapter 3. And if you've got the chapel Bibles, you can find that on page 953. So 1 Corinthians 3, page 953. And the title that John's given to this this evening is God Gives the Growth. So maybe we can start thinking about that as we read through this passage now. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as a people of the flesh, as the infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one, when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted Apollos, watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Amen. We're going to be singing our second song now. Restore, O Lord. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. And again, please stand when the music starts.
Oh,
heads, we pray to God. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Almighty and Heavenly Father, we come before an amazing and powerful and loving God. We come before a God who hears our prayers. We come before a God who cares about each and every single one of us. We come before a God who wants to answer those prayers, maybe not in the way that we expect, but in the way that you see fit. We thank you so much that your ear is always open to us. Lord, we think about ourselves and how we are so sinful in your sight, yet to you we look whiter than snow because of what Christ has done on that cross and the shedding of his blood. Lord, we thank you that in our times of distress and trouble, we can call to you. You're always there. Lord, there is never a time when we can't reach you, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just pray as we grow in our lives, Lord, that we'd grow closer to you, that we'd grow more like Christ day by day. We thank you so much for the picture that we have of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for how we have been taught. We read about what Jesus did here on earth, the way that he conducted himself, the miracles that he performed, yet the love that he showed to the people here on earth. Lord, the way that he was willing to lay down his life, laying down that life that was only a sacrifice so that we could be saved from our sins. And we thank you for that. Lord, we were remembering this morning about how because of Jesus' sacrifice we can be born again. And we thank you for that message. We thank you that our past lives have been completely put as far as the east is from the west, away from us, Lord. And our future, a new life with you, is at hand in heaven for eternity, which is far better. Lord, we just pray that you continue to keep teaching us and guiding us and strengthening us day by day. But Lord, we pray for those here that might not know you. Lord, they might have been here many, many times, many, many years. They might have heard many, many services, many, many children's talks. Yet their hearts are still hardened towards you. Lord, we just pray for them. We pray that their eyes would be open, that their hearts would be broken, that they would come to realize and see who Jesus Christ really is. But not just see who he is, but understand what Jesus has done for them too. You see, there is nobody that is out of your reach, no matter how bad they have been, or how bad they think they've been, or how much they think that they've been good and they've done nothing wrong that they think they have to feel sorry for. Lord, we know that you can reach them and you can touch them, and I pray that you would open up their hearts and work mightily in them. Lord, we know that once their hearts are open to you, the joy and the happiness that will flood in surpasses anything that this generation, that this world can offer. Lord, there is nothing like the happiness of knowing that we have Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray for this joy for them. We pray for those that are not here, Lord, that have wandered afar. Lord, that seem to show no interest, don't step foot in a church building anymore, or not that often. And we continue to pray for them. Lord, we do not forget them. And Lord, sometimes when we might go a week or two without mentioning them in prayer, we're so thankful that you don't forget. And Lord, you know our hearts and you know our concerns for the people that we love dearly. And Lord, sometimes we take that burden on our own shoulders when they've wandered far off. But how encouraging it is to know that no matter where they are, how far they've wandered from you, there is nothing that is beyond your saving grace, your power and your Holy Spirit to bring them back to you. I thank you for that. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the many things that we've been listening to. We thank you for the service this morning that we heard from John. We thank you for Thrive and for Rooted and the messages that were given. And we thank you for all those that were at CERT as well this week and that have been hearing those gospel messages there. We thank you that we have a town here where your word goes out, that people hear, not just older folk, but younger folk, all generations. And we just long for your Holy Spirit to work in and around this town, bringing people to know you. Lord, we thank you for the relationships that we do have with the different churches in the area. We thank you that we can come together under one roof, serving Christ. Lord, we know that you are the head of everything, and we just want to be able to work together to bring people to know who you are and to be saved. Lord God, we do pray for this coming week. We especially pray for the funeral on Wednesday, and we especially bring Alan and Tony and John and Esther and the family to you. Lord, we know that loss is so sad. Even when there's a hope at the end of it, Lord, there's still a sting left behind with death. And we just pray for them at this time to continue to be with them and comfort them. But we are thankful, Lord, that the grave has been defeated, that there is victory, that Wendy is with you now in heaven. And Lord, we know that one day, that Lord, if they've put their trust in you, Lord, that they're going to see Wendy again. And we thank you for that. And we just pray for Tony and Alan especially. We pray that even in the funeral service, Lord, that their hearts would be stirred, that they would see the hope that Wendy had, and Lord, that you would work in their hearts in a mighty way. But we just pray for all the things that will be going on, the work behind the scenes, and we pray for Mark as he takes that service. Lord, we just pray that you would guide and help them. Lord God, we think about the first Tuesdays, this coming Tuesday as well, and we think of all those elderly folk that attend, and we pray for them. Lord, I hear so many wonderful stories about how much they enjoy it, how much they get alongside the folk down here. And Lord, we know that we love to have them here. We know that we love the friendships that we have with them, but we long to see them changed as well. We long to see that the messages that they hear every month, Lord, would make a change in their lives. Lord, I know when we get to older age, we can be stubborn in our ways and think that we know everything. But Lord, I just pray that those messages that I hear would open their ears and open their eyes and open their hearts again. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work and bring in them to know you. Lord, we bring to you as well Martin and the work that he's done in the prisons today. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to be with Martin as he enters those prisons and speaks to the prisoners there. And again, it's just wonderful to think that even if you're in prison and you've done something wrong to be locked up, Lord, the chains of sin can be broken through Christ's love by working in your heart. And we thank you for that. And we pray that all those prisoners that hear those messages and are on those courses, Lord, would see that their hearts would be open to your word and those chains would be broken and they'd be freed from their sin and know that they can truly receive forgiveness through the ultimate judge. So Lord God, be with us now, we do pray. We especially pray for John as he comes to speak to us on this passage now. I pray that you'd help him, open up the Bible to us, and may you be speaking through him. Help us to understand this message that he's wanting to speak. And Lord, help us all be attentive and to really take it on board. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before John comes to speak to us in a moment, we're going to be singing our third song. Your word alone is solid ground. So again, please stand when the music starts, and afterwards John will be coming up to preach to us.
Thank you. Well, I've given the title to this evening's sermon, God Gives the Growth. God Gives the Growth. It's there in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 3 is where we are this evening, and it says, but only God who gives the growth. And there's something similar in verse 6, the verse before, where it says, but God gave the growth. They're encouraging phrases. I hope you find them encouraging this evening. God gives the growth. I hope that the word growth is a word that appeals to us. It probably does. Naturally, it does. If you're in business, you're usually concerned about growth in sales or profits. If you're into fitness, you want to grow and hit some targets. If you're into academic standards, you're looking to stretch yourself. And you think of your wealth, you quite like it to go upwards, perhaps. If you're into gardening, you're certainly into growth. Growth is quite a nice theme. And here in this passage, we're thinking of gospel growth. Gospel growth. That is people becoming new believers. And people who are believers being stronger in their faith. People who are believers serving more. We're thinking of gospel growth. And in this chapter, we've got both construction going on and we've got agricultural images going on. And in both, there is a concern for growth. So you might be into demolition, but probably not. If you're in the construction industry, you're into things going upwards. You want growth. If you're into agriculture, well, you don't go to an agricultural show and show off your soil or your tools. You take your best tomatoes and your cucumber and your marrow, whatever. You're interested in growth. And we want growth. We want gospel growth. We're thankful, aren't we, for the growth that God has given here, gospel growth. We've seen it over the years. It's been steady, I think, over the years. Perhaps sometimes in this country at the moment we feel sadness that there's not more growth, but we're thankful for what growth there has been. And it makes clear that real growth comes from God. But God gave the growth, but only God who gives the growth. So we're going to have that theme reverberating a little bit in our minds. It's a great phrase, it's an encouraging phrase. But we're also looking at it as part of the setting. And the setting in this chapter is of different workers. And it's that that sent me to this passage at this time. Because you've kindly granted me a sabbatical. And I'm increasingly looking forward to it. It's not very far away. A week tomorrow it starts. And as a result, there'll be a temporary change of who's serving here. The bloke who is often up the front won't be up the front for a period. And others will be involved more instead. One of my tasks in recent months has been trying to arrange cover for those 2.5 months. And on the board, there's a list. I'm thankful for a number of people who are willing to take Sundays. And we have them covered. I'm thankful as well that a good number of our own folk here have been willing to cover Thursdays. Others as well will be stepping up, taking on different responsibilities to cover me. Mark will be doing more. Others will be covering Mark. There'll be a little bit of reshuffling. There'll be extra burdens that people take on. And I'm grateful for that at this time. And so I thought, it led me to think, as we're thinking of different people serving in different ways, it led me to this passage. And I thought there'd be some helpful stuff in the verses that we've got this evening. Now, the scene at Corinth was a bit discouraging. They were lining up behind their favourite leaders or preachers. You see that from verse 4 in this chapter. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. It's obvious if you read the letter as a whole that Chloe's folks had blown the whistle on what was happening at Corinth. You find that out in chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, which was along these lines. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarrelling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And you can imagine people there at the time saying, well, I like Paul. You know, he's got some theological ballast to him. He knows his stuff and he's very accurate. I like Paul. And somebody else saying, well, I like Apollos. Apollos is an eloquent man. He's stirring. He's inspiring. I like Apollos. And somebody else says, well, I like Cephas or Peter. You can't get better than somebody who spent 3 years with Jesus, who's rubbed shoulders with Jesus, who's seen him. I'm behind Peter. And they were forming in groups within the church behind their sort of favourite leader. And they got into a very man-centred approach and were divided. And Paul says it's immature. It's immature. They were acting like baby Christians. Verse 1 of our chapter. Brothers, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. They were too focused on individuals. Now, I'm not looking at this passage because I think that's a major problem here at Forest Fold. We don't have big names. We don't have big personalities. So perhaps it's less of a danger than some situations. And whilst ministers, leaders, teachers warrant, need appropriate support and respect and love, we don't want them put on a pedestal, and I don't think that's the case here. But even if that's not the case here, I still think there's some really helpful things in these verses that we're looking at which will be good for us as we think ahead to the next 2 or 3 months. We're in verses 5 to 9, and in verses 5 to 9 we can see a distinction between God and the workers. And we're going to look at a couple of things about them both. And then I'm going to make a few closing applications to the situation here. So let me read these verses in mind. So God gives the growth is the overall title, an encouraging title, but we're going around other things as well and applying it to the situation here. We're looking at God and workers in these verses. Think about God and the workers in verses 5 to 9 as I read them again. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you have believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. So we think about what it says about the workers, what it says about the workers in these verses. And one of the things that comes out is this, that they are mere servants. The workers are mere servants. That there is a danger of overrating them. It starts off, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? In verse 7, it carries on and says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. So they're not special. You know, what are they? They're not to be overrated. They're not to be given too much attention to the workers. They're not in charge. They're just the channels. They're just the agents. They're the servants. They're the table waiters is the sort of picture in mind. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. They're just doing, we're just doing what's been assigned to us as best we can. We're mere servants. And servants are not the main thing. Servants have to give account to somebody else. They're answerable. Mere servants. In the past, it was often phrased like this to pray for preachers or speakers or teachers as God's servants. And that reflects the truth that it said here. They're just serving the Lord. They're just passing on the message. They're just His people doing their job. So remember this. Those who minister are servants, not the master. Let's make sure we keep people in the right perspective. But it says something else as well about the workers, which is that they are gospel partners. They're gospel partners. That there's a togetherness between the workers. Slightly different line of thought. They are a team together. They're on the same side. And we should beware of putting a wedge between them, of over comparison, of allowing or encouraging anything like rivalry. That's what was happening here at the church at Corinth. They all do different things, have slightly different roles, slightly different focus. God uses them in different ways. Here Paul talks about the fact that I planted, verse 6, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. A couple of years ago, we decided that our vegetable patch was time to be sort of got rid of and become grass and another flower bed in the middle of the lawn as well. And so I asked Sam Thurmer for his help, and he did all the difficult work of levelling it out and seeding it. And then I had the job of standing there most days with the hose. Well, his job was much more complicated than mine. I just turned the hose on and sort of spread it out. He did the difficult bit, but we had different roles. And as time went on, we were waiting to see a bit of green come up through the soil. We worked together. That's the picture here. I planted, Apollos watered. There's a unity between these different workers. Verse 8. He who plants and he who waters are one. They're together. They're on the same side. They're partners in the gospel. I don't think the individuals mentioned here wanted people to all side up behind them. They were wanting a oneness. They felt together in their concern. They're called, verse 9, did you notice that? They're called fellow workers. Fellow workers. Gospel partners together. Now, I'm only mildly into classical music. In fact, I think that's almost an overstatement in itself. I'm mildly into classical music. But with my dad here, and he enjoys watching DVDs, I have watched through Beethoven's Fifth on DVD recently and heard some of the other great symphonies being played. And I think this is a great picture of this. In a full-size orchestra, you have approaching 100 instruments. And you have them in different sections. And they're all taking their part. And they've all got their pieces. And as the conductor works, they all join together, contribute their different part to a beautiful, harmonious sound. You have the strings, loads of those, lots of first violins and second violins and the other strings. You also have the woodwinds and you have the brass section and you have the percussion and drummer coming in. They all contribute to make a beautiful sound. They play their part, their partners being guided by the conductor. In Beethoven's Fifth, there's one point where the piccolo has a special feature, and actually the piccolo, I think it was a her, she stood up. It's obviously planned. She stood up, and for a couple of minutes she was playing her piece. So in a way was at the centre of things. That was her role to do that. And then she sat down and you didn't hear so much of the piccolo again as others were playing. All working together to form a beautiful sound. And that's like it is in the church and with those involved with the gospel. Different roles playing together, contributing overall as a team to the work of the gospel. Now, if the piccolo player thought, well, I'm going to stand up all the time. And she just stood up and the whole time she was playing, that would be so odd. And you'd say, no, that's not your role. You sit, you've done your bit, now you sit down. Or if others thought, well, you know, if she's standing up, well, I'm going to stand up. And the trombonist to start to stand up because they want a bit of attention. And the violinist did the same. No, you play your part. It contributes well. And then you sit down and you let somebody else play the main part that they're going to play in order for it to work for the beautiful sound overall. And that's like the church here and the churches elsewhere. We different roles, we different sorts of people, we contribute as the Lord enables us and gives us the opportunity. And we enjoy working together. And you enjoy doing your part. And you appreciate what others do. And when the piccolo is playing, you're pleased for the person who's got that main role at that time. And you pray for them and you support them. And you don't get envious that you're not the piccolo player. No, you do the part that the Lord has given you to do. God's fellow workers, gospel partners. So it's a couple of things there about the workers, mere servants, gospel partners. And then there's some things about God in this passage. And God is seen as the owner. He's seen as the owner. That God, of course, is most important. He is God. And we need always to remember that. We can get very horizontal and man-centred. Chapter 1 in this letter ends, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." The Lord should be the centre of our attention. And he is the owner. See how it's put in verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." So he owns the fellow workers. They're not freelance. They're not one-man bands. They belong to him. He's the owner. He's in charge. He owns the field where the growth is going on. It's God's field. All sorts of things to think of when people are involved with farming. But one of the fundamental things is, who does the land belong to? Who does the land belong to? And the gospel work that's done is carried out in God's field. He's the owner. And he owns the building that is being built up. The building imagery carries on as the chapter goes on. But we remember that it's God's building. It's God's building. Forest Fold is God's church. Is God's church. God is the director. He allocates. He assigns. He has certain roles and contributions for people to make. In verse 5, Paul and Apollos are servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. Maybe you know of the prayer in Matthew 9 for workers. It's a great prayer to think about and to pray. But it talks about the Lord as the Lord of the harvest, thrusting workers into the harvest. See, the Lord is the director. The Lord is in charge of the workforce. And he chooses to have Paul planting and Apollos watering. He makes some teachers and he makes some leaders and he makes some Bible study group leaders. And we're answerable to the Lord. We give account to the Lord. So in our different responsibilities, we look to what he wants. We seek his will. Pray for it individually about our own role. We look to the Lord and pray to the Lord over how others might serve and what is right for them. We realise that we're accountable to the Lord. He's the owner. He's the director. And then back to where we start, he is the growth giver. Who gives new life? Who makes true Christians? Who builds the church? But God gave the growth, verse 6. But only God who gives the growth, verse 7. So Sam planted our flower beds, made them level lawn, raked them up, distributed the seed. I stood there day after day at lunchtime with my hose. Neither of us could create the wonder of green shoots coming up all over the place. It's God's design. It's God's work. God gave the growth. Forest Fold has many members. Different people have been used by God to help them on their way. We've heard many stories and we're so encouraged, aren't we, when somebody says, oh, this talk was a big help to me, or somebody took me along to that group, or somebody was having a Bible study, and we're encouraged that God, in his kindness, was using other people. But where true growth has occurred, it is God who gave the growth. We may rake, we may hose, but God gives the growth. As we go forward, we hope to see more growth. More people become believers. More people advanced in serving the Lord Jesus and serving others. And we expect and look for other people to be useful in that as they teach and pass on and as they pray, as they get alongside. But it will be God who gives the growth. At the end of the day, it's God who gives the growth. And that can be a comfort for us, because in periods where there is perhaps less growth, we can be discouraged. We can recriminate ourselves. And of course, it's good to think and it's good to review and it's good to think, is there things that I do which in any way hinder or a problem, or are there things that the Lord is calling to me that I'm not doing? It's right to think about things like that. But at the end of the day, we need to remember it is God who gives the growth. Now, I hope these next 3 months will be a time of wonderful growth. Many will be busy in their efforts, trying to contribute in different ways, and I hope that they're encouraged, and what they do is a rich encouragement to others. But if it is a time of growth, it will be God who gives the growth. So you see in this passage, as things about the workers that I needed to hear, things I need to be reminded about God. And I just want at the end to just make some brief applications to our situation now, the sabbatical period that's coming up, which hopefully will be helpful to us. So a few applications. People will be thinking about different things as we come to this period. I hope these are lessons drawn from this passage which are helpful. First is perhaps to be reassured. Now some may be relieved to have the main pastor out of the way for 2.5 months. Can have some proper preaching. Can have a nice bit of variety. And it's healthy not to be over-focused on one person. There will be some great benefits and blessings in variety. But maybe for some it might feel slightly odd and a bit strange and maybe even a bit unsettling. Well, it's good to remember, isn't it? It's God's work. It goes above the human instruments. God is the owner. God is the director. God is the growth giver. So we can be reassured if we're the type to feel slightly unsettled about a different period. A second application is this. Look to be blessed. Look to be blessed. You'll hear messages from a variety of workers in the meantime. Some of them may be your style. You wish they were here more regularly. And some of them won't be quite your style. And you think, well, that's going to be a difficult day or that's going to be a difficult service according to how you approach things. They don't fit your mould. But remember that all part of God's team. God gives different roles to different people, different abilities to different people. Look to be blessed. Look to be encouraged. You know, so much of it is down to attitude. Sometimes we have somebody preaching and they're not quite our sort of person, and we can go in with a wrong attitude, and you know we're off to a bad start, and we never get past it. So even if it's not quite your person, look to be blessed. Pray for them. You know, I found in my experience, sometimes when I've gone places and maybe the style or approach is not quite what suits me, and in many ways it's far from the ideal approach in terms of being as biblical as they could, that if I've gone, which I haven't always, if I've gone with a prayerful, positive approach, I've come away with blessing. I've come away with blessing, even though it was very different from what I would have aimed or expected. So look to be blessed. A third application, unite together. Unite together. Partners. During this period, different roles, contributing, taking on extra things. Support one another. Look to encourage. Look to bless. He who plants and he who waters are one. God's fellow workers together. Unite together. And then lastly, pray for growth. Or look to God for growth. Pray for growth during these months. I shall certainly be praying for growth during these months. I remember there was a period when the previous pastor here was unable to preach over health issues for a few months. And we missed our pastor. We wanted him back. We loved his ministry. We loved his teaching. But God did use that period in special ways when others were coming in to preach God's word. Pray for growth. I shall be very pleased if I come back and God has been at work through all sorts of different ways. Pray for growth. God does give growth. It varies in amounts. It varies over time. Not every situation and season is as blessed as others. But God does give growth. But God gave the growth. But only God who gives the growth. So will you make it your prayer as well for these next few months that God in his wonderful, kind, gracious sovereignty might be especially at work, that it might be a time of growth in new people coming to know the Saviour, that it might be a time of growth in disciples as they grow more like Jesus, that it might be a time of growth in service, perhaps even as others are covering others and taking on new responsibilities, perhaps sometimes in a period of strain, that God will overrule it and bless it for growth. God gives the growth. So, four specific applications which I hope you find helpful to our own situation here from some of the principles of these verses. Before we sing our last song, I'm just going to give an opportunity. Can we have it back up, actually? Sorry about that. Give an opportunity to pray, maybe particularly about the applications, maybe one or a couple of those applications you feel particularly helpful at this time and you want to respond in your own heart in private, quiet prayer. So I'll give that opportunity before we sing our last song. Well, let's sing together our last song, which is very much along the lines of all uniting together in serving God. We all are one in mission. We all are one in call. Our varied gifts united by Christ, the Lord of all. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.